And welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on a Monday morning. It is our chance to get caught up with the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine here. We'll do that in just a moment. We also have Shepherd's Crossing featured in the latter half of the show. C. Clyde Jones and Executive Director Beth Klug will join us at around 9:30. We start the hour off here, though. We have Dr. Chris Blevins, Associate Professor, Equine Field Service Clinician with K-State Veterinary Health Center, on the phone. Good morning, Dr. Blevins.
Hey, good morning.
How are you this morning on this cold, miserable February day?
Well, so far, fairly warm, but it doesn't take long to get cold once we're outside.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And no end in sight here for this cold weather. It looks like we're going to be in for it at least for the next week. But it's been, for the most part, pretty mild winter up until now. I mean, it's kind of strange we're getting it so late.
Yes, it has. Yes, I guess we're all due for at least some winter, maybe, I guess, if we want to look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, we bring you on the program. It's I feel like it hasn't been that long ago since I talked to you. This year's been long, though, and I guess it's been about a year since we've had you on the show. We're going to talk today. The topic is emergency equine medicine and what to do before your veterinarian arrives.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I think that a lot of owners, they sometimes, you know, what can they do, and sometimes feel helpless, anxious during those type of things with our horses. And, of course, they're a larger species, so trying to make sure everybody stays safe when they're around those kind of emergency things is something else to kind of think of. And you know, I always put it into a list for owners to think about what kind of emergencies do we see, and lacerations is definitely one of them, and then colic, you know, abdominal pain on a horse, respiratory disease, choke. So sometimes horses will choke on different feed-type things in their esophagus, and then fractures and lamenesses could be emergencies too. So that's kind of the list to think about as far as what could happen with your horse and the kind of more common things that could arise based on emergency and getting a veterinarian out of there.
All right. Well, obviously some different things here. As far as respiratory diseases, what are some common ones you see in the wintertime?
Yeah, in the winter, it really kind of depends, but some of the horses we see for respiratory could be just a virus, you know, just kind of like what we would have, and going through that, and this is where, you know, trying to get some stuff or information for the veterinarian can be helpful, and that would include, like, even getting a respiration rate and a temperature on your horse, and so knowing how to get a rectal temperature, getting just a thermometer from, you know, some pharmacy is just like for you and I. We can use the same type of temperature there, but we get a rectal temperature on them that can sure help the veterinarian, or at least communicate with them before they arrive. So that's at least something to think about for that respiratory one for sure.
All right, and that's probably no easy task there. Trying to, it's hard enough getting your kid's temperature. I imagine a horse 10 times harder.
Yeah, you know, and standing to the side, lifting up the tail, and probably even practicing or getting a temperature every once in a while. The veterinarian usually will do that anyways when they're doing a physical exam once a year. So the horses isn't like it's the first time they've ever had it done. And really, their fecal bowls are a lot bigger than those thermometers. So, but it is, there's a certain technique as far as getting a temperature safely. And so, you know, even practicing it, having your veterinarian kind of help you do it too while they're there would be something that would benefit later on for sure.
All right. You mentioned colic here. What are some signs of that?
Yeah, horses and colic, it's usually abdominal pain, and then they just don't want to eat. And so that could be some of the first starts of things. And so just being observant to your horses, you know, that could be the first sign that you see that maybe isn't as severe as some of the other signs. But, you know, focusing in, understanding routine of what your horse usually does. Most horses, if you dump feed in front of them, they're going to start eating. And if they don't, then that would be, you know, a start of a concern. So potentially, you know, doing some other things again prior to the veterinarian arriving could help, you know, decipher through how urgent of an emergency it is, getting a heart rate. So again, like a stethoscope, having your veterinarian help you listen or where you'd listen for a heart sound on your horse, looking at the mucous membranes, lifting up the lip, looking to see the color of it, if it's pink, if it's white, or if it's purple or red, knowing the difference of that color and how moist or how dry it is. Again, things that you can sure kind of do before the vet, and listen to the GI sound. So is it quiet or is it really rumbling in there? All those things could be helpful, you know, to observe prior to, or even communication with your veterinarian prior to arrival if needed for a colic.
Now, you mentioned maybe they wouldn't be eating necessarily, and that could be a sign there. Could that also potentially be, you know, dental problems? Have you ever heard of a horse maybe having trouble with certain types of feed, and they maybe break a tooth?
Yeah, it's not very common that they're going to just break a tooth or fracture tooth, but it sure could be. This is usually just some kind of an acute changes in there. Maybe how they eat is usually something, you know, maybe they're wanting to eat, but they're eating abnormal. That would make you think more of a dental deal. But if a horse is just refusing to eat or not wanting to eat, that is usually the concern we have with colic. But sure, you know, having your veterinarian come out and deciphering through some of that can be helpful. And a lot of times what you'll see with the horses is then they'll lay down and roll and get up and kick at their belly, and you know, they can be really painful in their abdomen, and so you start seeing some of those things that would also make you a concern for colic.
As far as choking, what are some common things that they might choke on?
Yeah, so horses, a lot of times what they would choke on would include what we feed them. And so pelleted feeds, even like alfalfa cubes and those kind of things, if they're fairly dry, which they are when we buy them in a bag and then you feed it to them, a lot of times I'll have owners go ahead and put or dump water in with that food and make it into a mash, because some horses, they're so hungry, they kind of bolt at it, get a big mouthful, swallow it, and then it expands in their esophagus, and then it becomes like cement. And so those are the kind of the more common things that they would or could choke on, would be actually feeds, pelleted feeds, or even processed type feeds like alfalfa cubes, alfalfa pellets, stuff to kind of watch for based on that.
And we're speaking with Dr. Chris Blevins here from the K-State Veterinary Health Center, talking about emergency equine medicine. Now, most people will probably be a little panicked if they see their animal choking. What are some tips you should do here before calling your vet if you do see that happening?
Yeah, and I think, you know, is it choking? A lot of times what you're going to see with a horse choking is saliva coming out their nose, or even food coming out the nose. And so you start seeing that, yeah, that would be of a concern, so deciphering through that. But then what can you do before the veterinarian gets there is to take away the water and the hay away from that animal, because they don't want to continue to choke on things, because usually, you know, they can still want to drink or eat. It's not going to stop that aspect, but then it can become worse. So a lot of times taking away the food and the water, getting them in kind of a quiet place, just letting them try to relax, even though they're going to be very anxious. Those are things that you can do with a choke prior to arrival. And I always tell owners, don't try to treat the choke yourself and put like a garden hose or anything in the horse's mouth, because that can make it worse. They can actually aspirate and then their lungs fill up with water. And so we don't want to do those kind of things. You'd want the veterinarian involved with trying to help relieve that choke.
I imagine timing's everything with something like that. How quickly do you need to interact with your horse if you do see that happening?
Yeah, probably it's considered more of an urgency. You know, if you notice it and trying to get the vet out there as soon as they can. Now, it's not like the horse can't breathe, and so the horse still can breathe. You just got to get them kind of calmed down. But what we do worry about is the choke, then that feed material getting into their lungs. And so if we don't relieve this choke over time, we worry about pneumonia and some respiratory diseases with that. And so that correlation and getting a veterinarian involved sooner than later. You don't want to wait 12, 24 hours after they start choking before you start calling your vet. You want to get them involved, let them know kind of what you're seeing, and then get them out there so they can hopefully relieve that and prevent hopefully some of those other things that we would be really worried about as far as pneumonia.
Oh, man, fascinating. Well, then Dr. Blevins joining us here from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. Obviously, one thing that's always a concern with horses is their ability to walk and you making sure they don't have any fractures or lameness, and that there's always some telltale signs with that as well.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that could be of an emergency too. And even with walking, sometimes it's even like a laceration or trauma to their legs, because horses, because they're a flight animal, they can sure get themselves into trouble or areas that could cause them not to want to use a limb or a leg to walk. And if you start to notice that, you probably need to get your veterinarian involved sooner and later for those things, because it can perpetuate and get worse, whether it's a fracture, which can happen to a horse. They traumatize the leg enough with different forces to break a bone, or even a laceration, so a cut on the leg and bleeding. All those things, you'd be just, again, being observant what you can do. And a lot of times, if you notice a lot of those type of scenarios where the horse doesn't want to put weight on them, what can the owner do? A lot of times, if you can just get out there and make the horse so it doesn't move around a lot. You don't want to drag a horse or push a horse into a certain area, you know, because you think, well, this is where we need to be at. A lot of times, you just need to make sure the horse stays still. Call a veterinarian and ask them what they should do next to do some other things. Or you can even, you know, can put towels around if it's really bleeding to try to pressure bandage it until the veterinarian arrives. So, again, calling your vet, taking pictures, sending the pictures to your vet so they can see some of that before they arrive. That can also be helpful.
All right. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back a little bit more with Dr. Blevins. If you have any questions, we'll take your phone calls at 785-537-1350. And Focus continues after this.